Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Nate Putterball, their sports update. Earlier today, prior to their arbitration hearing, the Columbus Blue Jackets inked goaltender Jett Kreese to a three-year, $15 million contract, keeping him in Columbus through the 2028-2029 season. Former Blue Jacket Jack Johnson today was named an assistant coach to the Ohio State women's hockey team following his retirement in January. Earlier today, the Minnesota Twins scored two runs in the 12th inning to lead them past the Cleveland Guardians 3-1. This puts the Guardians a game and a half back in the AL Central. The Cincinnati Reds are off tonight. They'll open a series tomorrow in Tampa Bay. The Columbus Clippers are on the road tonight, continuing a series with St. Paul. And in NFL news, the Las Vegas Raiders, the number one draft pick Fernando Mendoza, came to terms on a four-year, fully guaranteed deal worth $57.27 million. This update brought to us by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream is back at UDF. Right now, get two large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10. Bringing sports news, women to the fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! And grand record for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3.
Yes! This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a Thursday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy tonight, the Murph Dog, Patrick Murphy. Nate behind the glass. Patrick, happy Thursday to you, my friend, from the San Diego of the Midwest, Columbus, Ohio. Beautiful morning, a little chill, a little breeze in the air. Felt like football season out today. What's going on, buddy? Good to talk to you.
You too. It was odd waking up, was that yesterday, when it was all of a sudden fall? And like mid-fall, too. We went from blistering hot to mid-fall.
Smoky wildfires.
Yeah, yeah. To all of a sudden, it's... You know, I was debating, you were in a light hoodie, but a hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
I was debating a long sleeve shirt.
I'm prepared for this evening.
I did not do that route. I also went and stood at the crew game last night, no comment on how that went, and was like, man, I could have worn a long sleeve shirt for
Bryce
this.
Bryce Mendez is going to save the season for them.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so indeed. We got a great show lined up for you here this evening. Pat, we'll get your big Buckeye thoughts. Ohio State going to Big Ten Media Day next week in Chicago. We'll get your thoughts on that coming up in our next segment around 6:17. Tony Gerdeman of Buckeye Insiders, he's going to join us coming up here at 6:30. Talk about what he's looking forward to for Big Ten Media Days. Also, Ohio State camp 2 weeks from today. We are officially inside of the 2-week countdown before Ohio State gets their season started with camp over at the Woody. We'll check in with Gerd coming up at 6:30. The top 25 college football programs, not just the top 25 four teams, but the actual programs. We'll get into that around 6:46. Got more stuff in the SEC Media Days to go over with Nate in the Pulse a little bit earlier. At least one coach is keeping it real in the SEC. We'll get to that at 7 o'clock. We'll play some what-ifs for Ohio State for the 2026 season, and then we'll talk a little Buckeye hoops coming up at 7:30 with our good friend of the Columbus Dispatch, Adam Jardy. I know they... You know, I had a media availability earlier this week, Pat. You were at practice, and I do. And, you know, Austin has been in here. He's been going to practices as well. And I feel like it's been a while since we've done a show together. I like how Jake Diebler and the winner of Dottie Pepper, Gary Pettit, have made practice available this summer for Ohio State. And you've gotten to know a little bit more about these players during this summer period, which is really... I don't know if that's been the case in the past, but it seems that there's way more opportunities this summer to get to know the team than in years past.
Definitely more. In the Chris Holtmann era, we would tend to do a couple press conferences throughout the summer. Usually it'd be, you know, Chris would talk once or twice, and then you'd get, you know, the returning guys or whatnot, just to have some stuff out there. I think Jake sees this as a real opportunity. Like, you've got some exciting guys coming in, freshmen specifically, I think people are interested in. I think that they are well aware of the quality coming back as well. Mm-hmm. And I think they just view an opportunity of like, hey, let's get out of there. Especially right now, it's kind of a slow college news cycle, right? Before football really ramps up here. So why not try and capitalize on some buzz and, you know, get these guys in front of cameras and microphones and whatnot and let people get to know them a little bit and not just have it be, you know, media days in the middle of the fall a few weeks before the season starts when, you know, we're in the heat of football and that stuff all kind of gets lost. Plus, they've got this trip to Puerto Rico that they're doing, and that gives them the opportunity to practice more And so, yeah, open it up.
Get into real game situations. Yeah. I know that, you know, we're still a while away from Ohio State opening up the season. I mean, heck, we don't really even have a schedule for them yet to still go over with dates and times of games. You know, we're pretty well nailed down to what their non-conference schedule is going to be. But as far as an actual Big Ten schedule, we have opponents. We still don't have the dates and times of those games yet. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about the Puerto Rico trip, because it does sound like it's going to be like straight up throwing you into the fire, dealing with, you know, live rounds and live bullets and seeing how you're going to react on the fly. They don't even know who they're going to play. So that's going to be the fun part of it.
Yes, I think this is going to be really interesting to kind of hear how it goes. I think I could be mistaken, but I think Adam is going to go. So we'll be able to ask him what he's looking forward to and then hopefully talk to him about it afterwards.
Other than just going to Puerto Rico. Sounds lovely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Puerto Rico. no, just kidding. Puerto Rico is great. But yeah, I think, look, A, you're playing somebody that's not yourself, right? We hear that a lot in preseason, offseason, spring practice, whatever it may be. Like, you just kind of get tired of going against the same guys every day. Everyone kind of knows the offense, the defense, what you're running, all that. So that's always a plus. But you get to do this earlier than you normally would with the exhibition games. And like you said, it's not an opponent that they're going to be able to really scout, or they're intentionally not going to scout much.
Or opponents. I don't know how many games they're playing.
They're playing two games. Okay. I don't know if that's the same opponent twice. It sounds like this is essentially going to be, I don't want to say like an all-star team, but just like a collection of local, I assume, whether it's young pros or guys that they'll put together. So, you know, it's not like this is, I don't think, maybe you are going to get some Puerto Rican teams because that does exist. But it does sound like it'll be sort of a mixed bag. Jake said, you know, they haven't gotten a roster yet of the players and whatnot. So, but I think just the opportunity to go out there and see how these guys handle the somewhat adversity of like, oh, we're going against another team and we don't know a ton about that team. And, you know, we've got to adjust on the fly and sort of bond as a team on the court. And I think it's only going to be a positive. And I like that the NCAA changed the rule from being able to do this once every 4 years. So now you can do it every year. And I'm not saying Ohio State will take advantage of it every year, because there's obviously a cost component and stuff. But I do think it is a good opportunity to be able to use, you know, more frequently than you could in the past.
I agree with that. And I also think, too, I mean, if you talk to anybody like within the Blue Jackets organization, and I know that maybe this is a bad example since we don't have an NBA team, but like your first extended road trip together as a team, whether they're playing out west or, you know, they're on a week long road trip, I think it's really good for the team to get together.
Yes.
As a whole and travel to see what each other's, you know, what each other's habits are like. And getting used to traveling on the road, just like they're going to have to do this season. So we'll check in with Adam Jardy, the Columbus Dispatch, coming up here at 7:30. Talk all things Puerto Rico, Buckeye hoops. That's coming up a little bit later on. I was reading this a little bit earlier today, Pat. Ohio State, 3-time All-Americans in history. I like to throw a pop quiz at you from time to time. Can you name all of the 3-time All-Americans in Buckeye football history?
Well, I did look at this
okay.
already. I will say that. Now, do I remember it off the top of my head? I know James Laurinaitis was one of them.
He's just a 3-star from Wayzata.
Yes.
James Laurinaitis, 3-time All-American.
Yeah.
You got
and
that.
I think, had you asked me to guess, I think I would have gotten James. I do now have the list in front of me because it was still open on my computer. Yeah, the rest of this list, though, they all make sense, but I'm not sure I would have guessed them all.
So, Mike Doss, 3-time All-American for Ohio State. Mike Doss, by the way, I don't know if this is statistically correct, but at least in my childhood of watching him, never missed a tackle at Ohio State. The guy was one of the best, I mean, box-to-box defenders that you're going to see. Again, I don't think he ever got ran over or stiff-armed or juked, like always made the tackle when he was in a place. Chris Spielman, Ohio State legend, 3-time All-American. Tom Cousineau, all 3-time All-American, Ohio State legend. I don't feel like I need to say Ohio State legend anytime you're a 3-time All-American or Ohio State.
Yeah, I think these guys all count.
Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner, 3-time All-American. Howard Hopalong Cassidy, and then Chick Harley. So that brings the grand total of 3-time All-Americans up to 7 for Ohio State of 3-time repeating All-Americans for the Buckeyes. If Jeremiah Smith has the season that we're anticipating that he has, he can become the 8th 3-time All-American. And funny enough, as much as we mentioned Ohio State as wide receiver U, everyone who they have pumped in the pros within the last 10 years specifically, but of course in years past and through the 80s, through the 90s, 2000s, and then of course through the 2010s and the 2020s, would be the only wide receiver that Ohio State could basically run out there as a three-time All-American. Doing that in 3 years and then going pro, Pat, that is something pretty spectacular. Jeremiah Smith already has two All-Americans, and then I would anticipate a third one loading for him this season.
I was looking at this, and I was like, Caleb Downs didn't do this, and then I remembered that
Downs... He just did it for Alabama as a freshman.
Played his first season at Alabama.
Under a technicality.
Right. But I think that's why you don't see more of those receivers on there, because most of them, until Jeremiah, didn't play a ton until their sophomore year. And so it's like, well, you got 2 years, basically, to become a superstar, which most of those guys did. But yeah, that's an impressive list. And look, I would be more surprised if Jeremiah doesn't add to this list than if he does, which I think says a lot about Jeremiah, because it's not easy to be a three-time All-American. And he seems like the obvious next guy that will add to this list.
I'm excited to get... I feel like that's the understatement of the year. Get excited to see Jeremiah Smith play football. But yes. I'm so interested to see him in an Arthur Smith-led offense this year, Pat, and what it looks like for him. And then also the competition that's going on behind him in a slot receiver role or wide receiver three role. We know he's going to be the primary outside wide receiver. But how Ohio State kind of dictates that offense with Julian Sain at the helm to make sure that Jeremiah Smith touches the football, but also at the same time getting other guys involved. Like, we know it's his last go around here, right? Like, we understand that. We get it. What does it look like? I know that you're shrugging your shoulders. We have talked about that before. He technically has two more years after this year of eligibility. We don't think that's going to happen. But what he looks like, I know this offseason he's been putting in a tremendous amount of work. And just the amount of ridiculous plays he has this year, I think that's the thing I'm most looking forward to of this Ohio State football season, is just watching Jeremiah Smith for one last go round.
Look, Beam, I remember Jeremiah Smith standing on the field after winning a national championship talking about how he wanted to win four. That opportunity is still
technically
there.
Available.
So, you know, man's a man of his word.
Could he be the first five-time All-American in Ohio State history?
I guess that is possible. That is. But
I don't
no,
know if there's ever been a four-time All-American. Probably not.
To your point, though, I agree. I think, you know, this Arthur Smith offense, I know people talk about the run game and what he does that way, but like, part of the reason the run game is so important and has been so successful is because it sets up play action. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And not that Ryan Day's offense in the past hasn't used that, but I think it's going to be a bigger weapon, assuming that the offensive line can protect in the run and open holes. The evolution of guys like Bo Jackson, Isaiah West.
I'm assuming that they will.
I think so too. But you need that to hit, so then you can make some plays in the pass game with the play action. And I think that's where Jeremiah could be really dangerous. Also, remember earlier in the offseason or in the spring, the receivers talked about yards after catch. Mm-hmm. And that being such a big emphasis under Cortez Hankton, because he didn't he didn't feel like there was enough of that last year. So will we see more just get the ball into Jeremiah's hands and let him, you know, get blockers out in front of him and
bring
let
back
him go
those crossing routes?
Yeah, that would be great.
Mesh route.
I've never really understood why those disappeared. Like, I understand you had different types of receivers, but like, that seems like a concept most receivers should be able to handle, but I'm no guru and will defer to Ryan Day.
Hey, as we get ready to ramp up the football season, Big Ten Media Days is next week. We'll get Pat's biggest thoughts about the Buckeyes. That's coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, our tranquil period across central Ohio continues through Saturday. Overnight tonight, dry into the upper 50s, so pretty comfortable. On Friday, looking at some sunshine early, dry and then increasing clouds as the day wears on with low 80s. Middle 80s on Saturday, dry and sunny. Then on Sunday, dry sunny early with a couple of storms in the afternoon. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The best damn radio show in the land. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out, my guy Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts here this evening. Tony Gerdeman of Buckeye Insiders. He's going to join the program coming up here at 6:30. Little Buckeye football news for you as well. Before we get to this, Pat, what was your thoughts on the David Gabriel George situation that unfolded in front of our eyes last evening? Were you surprised? Because it seemed to be trending Tennessee's favor for like the last 48 hours before he ultimately made his commitment.
It did. So I was not surprised. I think that as disappointing as this is, and look, it certainly is, Ohio State has, and Carlos Lachlan in particular, have made it very clear that he was their number one, two, and three target at running back in the 2027 class. And, you know, when you talk to Carlos Lachlan and you talk about running backs, it's hard to have a conversation without David Gabriel George's coming up, but it's also you have the opportunity now to sort of figure out what's next. There are other guys out there, not a ton, but I think with the way the running back room is set up right now, you've got two guys in Bo Jackson, Isaiah West, who they really like coming back. Turbo Rogers, we haven't really seen, but he's a guy who I know they were excited about. And then the two freshmen, Legend Bay, which is kind of an ironic situation since he signed with Tennessee and then got out of that and ended up
at
Ohio State.
18 years old and he said, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And then Favor Akee, like, I think even if you don't have a big time running back in this class, like, you got enough youth that these guys, you know, can kind of handle the workload there over the next 2 years. And then, you know, maybe you bring somebody else in. I know they're going to look at guys they've had some relationships with, guys that maybe, especially locally here in Ohio, that pop as seniors. But if even if you didn't, and I do think they will, but even if you didn't have a running back in this class, Like, I think you're good for this year. You should be good for next year with those guys likely coming back, and then you can reevaluate for the 2028 class.
Kind of the same thing they did this year. Like, I know that they feel confident about their running back room, you know, this season. Doesn't mean that they're not going to go out and get high school recruits. It also doesn't mean that they're not going to go out and attack the transfer portal like Jacoby Jackson, right? I mean, that's a seventh-year guy. The guy is a veteran. I know he's been, you know, had some injury issues in the past. But also, like, Ohio State with their medical team, I don't feel like they would be confident really in anybody. We've seen it in the past, like, you know, players come on campus from the transfer portal and they say, nope, not feeling confident right about that. And then you see them sign elsewhere. So, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a straight up, like, you know, one running back in this class and then they're going to go attack the portal, or if everything really kind of goes according to plan. I know that Austin and I were talking about this a little bit earlier in the week, Pat, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. It's like if Legend Bay has a pretty good season as a freshman, and again, like, he's not going to be a Bo Jackson for this season. He's just not that kind of a runner. But if Bo Jackson and Isaiah West pop off the page and you think Legend Bay has something to give you this season, and then, of course, next season, like, you're going to be paying a premium for all three of those guys to return in the Scarlet and Gray anyways.
Right, and I think some of the potential upside of not getting David Gabriel George is you're not disrupting this running back room by bringing in, you know, the sort of running back equivalent of Jeremiah Smith in January. Like, if Bo Jackson has another really good year and then you bring in a kid who is reportedly going to make $2 to $3 million next year at Tennessee, and I don't know if Ohio State was going to pay him that much, but they weren't having
they weren't
him come
shying
to free
away
right
from paying him.
So if you're going to pay him to come in, then what's Bo Jackson going to ask? Mm-hmm. And are you okay with losing Bo Jackson in that situation? You'd have to ask over there what they think. But now you don't have that problem, and you have to hope that obviously these guys take that next step, as you said. But I think they feel pretty good about that room.
Also, a point of not contention, but maybe some a little bit nervousness for Ohio State fans, at least on the recruiting trail, was Brady Edmonds. Committed to Ohio State back in 2024. It said, you know, I grew up a Buckeye fan. I was excited to play for them. And then things kind of got a little squirrely for the last few months. But as of a couple hours ago, Pat, he did shut down his recruitment. He is staying committed to Ohio State. He was telling Rivals this. He said, when I talked to my dad last week, one thing we said is that I would regret it. And a what if this opportunity the rest of my life if I went anywhere else. This has been my dream since I was little, before I even really played competitive football. I was a huge Ohio State fan growing up. I'm staying committed to Ohio State. That's good news for Ohio State for this upcoming class.
Yeah, and this is not a surprise to me, at least. I know there's been points when it sort of looked like maybe
it was in flux.
UCLA, yeah. And I think a lot of that had to do, and this quote kind of says it, is Brady wanted to be a Buckeye. But if Ohio State's going to go out and look and maybe doesn't believe in him at the same level that they once did, and UCLA does, and it's right down the street, and they're trying to build something there, like, there's probably some pull. But talking to Brady the last couple summers, talking to his dad, Eric, like, this was always the goal. And so as long as Ohio State was willing to have him in here and say, look, come in, you've got some things that we need you to improve on, but come in, let's work on some stuff.
Not guaranteeing you a starting spot or a number.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I asked Brady when he was here this summer, like, about sort of the knock on him as sort of a heavy footed guy. And he said, look, I've been injured basically for the last year. Mm-hmm. He's like, I went to these camps and was kind of still dealing with some stuff. He's like, and I still think I played pretty well. So let's see what happens when he's fully healthy and maybe can kind of knock off some of that reputation. And if there's somebody who can work with quarterbacks, I think Ohio State has proven that they can, you know, turn even a decent quarterback into something pretty good.
They do have quite the history of that, at least within the last few years. Pat, what's burning on your brain the most about the Buckeyes? I know that you guys over at Bucknuts are going to do a great job, comprehensive job of covering all things Ohio State and the Big Ten for media days next week. Again, Ohio State training camp starts in a couple of weeks. What are you most looking forward to next week, or even when we get into camp here in a couple of weeks?
I think next week's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun at media days. It's good to see everybody again after the summer and see people from other program, you know, cover other programs and whatnot. But I really like this group that's going for Ohio State to Big Ten Media Days, and Jeremiah Smith, Julian Sayin, and Jalen McClain. Like, you get your two two major stars on one side, and then I think a guy who by the end of the season, I think will probably be in that mix, in Jalen McClain. I'll just be overall interested in kind of the progression from spring, these summer workouts, which are still kind of a relatively new thing, and I think we often forget that they have like these OTAs where they are getting better in that stuff. You know, how is the defense coming along in Jalen McClain's eyes, and obviously getting Ryan Day's perspective, and then talking to some of the other people, you know, the other representatives there. The day that Michigan talks, which I believe is the third day, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Are you guys staying for that?
We will be there, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, not only do you have a new head coach in Kyle Whittingham, but Bryce Underwood's going to be there. Like, this is a really big season for him.
It's a huge season for him.
Yes.
We were just talking about last night. We were looking at, I believe it was Sam Kahn, and I don't remember the other writer for The Athletic who did, like, the quarterback tiers.
Oh, yes.
But was ranked, at least Bryce Underwood was, in their fourth tier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year that would almost be uncomprehendable given as much love and praise as Bryce Underwood was getting in the spring and then leading up to the season. Now, you watch him play football, it's like, all right, you're raw talent. Mm-hmm. You know, you still got a ways to go. But I do think if there's any one coach to get the best out of him, it is probably Kyle Whittingham. So what has he seen out of Bryce Underwood? What does he think of the Wolverines' top-end talent? I know a lot of the questions, of course, will be about Ward Manuel and what's been going on there, but also Kyle Whittingham's going to say, I'm the new guy. I don't really know anything. Yes. I wasn't here, so I'm going to plead the fifth. I got nothing to say about that. So I'm guessing there will be a lot of non-answers, even though there will be a ton of questions about the Ward Manuel situation.
Absolutely. And yeah, they're also bringing Jalen Marshall, the running back, or Jordan Marshall, excuse me, the running back. He's going to have some competition this year with Hyder coming in. Mm-hmm. And you know, the reports out of their camp that it's been going well. But looking at some of the other programs, Malik Washington at Maryland, like he was somebody who popped, I think, last year.
Dynamic player.
Yeah, what's year two look like? Indiana, I think, again, the question is, can you sustain it? Which is a bit unfair after
a team. Is this real?
Yeah, a team just won the national championship. What I will be interested in is, so usually at Big Ten Media Days, they have the head coaches at the up on the big stage that you see on TV, and then they do the coaches and the players at these tables.
It's like a breakaway, right?
Yes, and it's always Michigan and Ohio State that have the biggest, especially the head coaches, biggest contingent around. Does Kurt Cignetti cut into some of that? He's on the same day as Michigan. I don't know the schedule.
He should.
Time. Yeah, but like, is there enough, especially national attention, that like, hey, all of a sudden, Kurt Cignetti in that Indiana table is going to be a hard place to get in and get your microphone up there.
Make sure you get there early.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, looking across the rest of the conference, like there's obviously stories. Like, I'd be really interested, and I'm sure he's talked about it, but Dante Moore at Oregon, mm-hmm. the decision to come back, and then they add in Dylan Raiola. Like, that's not a huge story for Ohio State because you're probably only going to face Dante Moore this year, but just interesting college football. Like, you don't see that often with two quarterbacks.
Not one of the guys
a
number two overall, like draft prospect, yeah, like Dante Moore was, or number one.
And it's not like they recruited a kid who's 2 years behind. Like, this is a kid who started most of the season before he got hurt last year in Nebraska. So, yeah, some really interesting storylines heading into media days across the conference.
Tony Gerdeman of BuckeyeInsiders.com. He's going to join the program. We'll talk all things Ohio State football as we get ready to start camp in a couple of weeks. We'll do that with him coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Front Office Methods, your authorized RICO dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Relax and let Kroger Pickup handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items, then choose your favorites. Carefully pack everything up and load it right into your trunk so you can feel confident it's what you ordered. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Pickup and Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first pickup or delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is the Buckeye Show.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us here on this beautiful Thursday evening. Central Ohio, wherever you're listening from, wherever you're watching from. Always appreciate you joining in. Want to let you know that we are on the Buckeye Show, brought to you by our good friends over at CareSource. Right now, we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Checking with our guy. He is at BuckeyeInsiders.com. He is Tony Gerdeman. Gerd, always appreciate the time. Didn't you feel like, I mean, football is in the air when you woke up this morning here in Columbus, Gerd?
It was a little chilly. It was nice, a little respite, but then also a reminder that pretty soon, like, you know, 5 straight months of work is about to be here.
It's all good, you know?
Is it really work?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio, you know, the football team has been putting in 5 months of work leading into this point, Gerd. I know that you guys have as well. You're going to be in attendance for Media Days out in Chicago next week. What are you most looking forward to? Who are you most looking forward to getting to chat to, either in an Ohio State uniform or in the conference next week, Gerd?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where whenever you're asking players about how things are going or other players, it's like, you know, everybody's doing great. Everybody's great. Big expectations for everybody. But I think at least in terms of talking with Ryan Day, getting an idea, getting him on the record about what's going on with Austin Cerevelt and Ian Moore in terms of the offensive line. And then something I was thinking about today, and it's kind of meaningless, and it's something that Ryan Day has never spent a second of thought on, but it's something those of us around the world of Ohio State and Michigan have talked about. Like, isn't it time? How would people feel about Ohio State and Michigan both wearing home jerseys during the game?
Love it.
And so I would like to talk to you. I'll ask the players, the Ohio State players, the Michigan players, you know, would you be in favor of that? And when I ask Ryan Day, I'd have to, you know, preface this with, I know you've never spent one second of thought about this, but how would you feel about that? I just think it would be neat to see.
It would be awesome to see. Speaking of Michigan, we were just talking about their contingent coming out, and obviously everything that's gone on recently is going to be a topic of conversation. But of this group that Michigan's bringing, what can you tell us about sort of what to expect from those guys this season? And since you do a lot of Michigan stuff, what are you interested in hearing from them?
Is Bryce Underwood going? Like, you're going to have to give me his name real quick. I'm sorry.
He is going.
It's Bryce Underwood, Jordan Marshall, and I have to pull up the last one.
That's okay. Just those two guys.
Yeah,
and then some
those
other
two
guy.
Guys. That's enough. Like, I think one of the things with Bryce Underwood is the fact that they talk about now he's got a quarterback's coach where he didn't really last year, which is a crazy thing. You know, they had somebody with them, but like, you know, people tell you he did not have a dedicated quarterbacks coach, which he does now, and a reputable one. So, you know, what is that like? How much does he think he's improved? Because we don't want to make too much of a spring ball or the spring game specifically, but the quarterback we saw in the spring game looked like the same quarterback we saw last season. And that's not a great thing when he was a true freshman last year and started for all of those games. He shouldn't have looked like the same quarterback in November that he did in September. He should have grown, and I don't know that he had. So, you know, where's that going? I think, you know, talk to Kyle Whittingham about being part of the rivalry now, I think will be interesting. In terms of Jordan Marshall, you know, maybe asking a little bit also about how Savion Hyder, the 5-star running back, is fitting in there and what he expects those two to be. Because Michigan, I think when they've been at their best, they've had a really good 1-2 punch at running back, and I think they might have that again this year.
Gerd, you were talking about kind of the evolution of quarterback. I want to take you know, almost back a year ago, Julian Sayin, his debut in the horseshoe against Texas. Like, we could all see it. You know, he was slinging the ball around. It was a low-scoring game. It was a defensive effort in that Ohio State-Texas game. This year, totally different quarterback matchup, week two, between Arch Manning and Julian Sayin. For you, I mean, you watched all of Julian's plays last year. Obviously, he was very accurate. I think the last two games of the season left a bad taste, not only in his mouth, not only in the Buckeyes' mouth, but really for Ohio State fans everywhere. What are you anticipating from his growth from a year one starting quarterback at Ohio State, now being thrust into this position in year two where he is representing the Buckeyes at Media Days next week?
Yeah, and you know, that Texas game, Ryan Day came out of it saying they could have asked Julian to do more in hindsight. And I think we all agreed. And watching that, he outplayed Arch Manning. He looked like the more comfortable guy. And then he just grew from there. And in fact, those last two games against Indiana, he threw for more yards and led Indiana, you know, threw for more yards than Fernando Mendoza and led Ohio State on as many touchdown drives as Indiana had, and had the same one touchdown and one interception. Against Miami, he threw for like 140 more yards than Carson Beck. It's just he had that that pick six and then an interception at the end when they're already down by two scores. It didn't really matter. But like, I don't think he's – certainly don't think he's far off. I mean, he threw for over 250 yards in both of those postseason games. But, you know, it's kind of like with Bo Jackson in terms of the criticism that he gets. It's people are looking at the stuff that he hasn't done and kind of ignoring all of the stuff that he has done. And what he has done is pretty spectacular. But – you want to see more, and it's just like, you, I don't want to say you take for granted everything that he's doing, and you're saying, you know, well, why aren't you also doing this without giving him the credit for the stuff that he is doing? But he's also wanting to do more. He's, you know, he's talked about spending time in the offseason, becoming a better runner and becoming better at anticipating when to go. And I think that's kind of the next step of his progression. I'm also interested to see how Arthur Smith factors into all of this. They're, you know, moving to maybe some more of a quick passing game, but the loss of Carnell Tate, I think is huge because I don't know what to expect, or you know, I kind of do know what to expect from the downfield stuff and the 50-50 balls that Carnell Tate would always come down with. I don't know if they have anybody that can do that outside of Jeremiah Smith right now. Maybe it's Chris Henry. Who knows?
Gerd, on the other side of the ball, Jalen McClain is the lone defensive representative going to media days for Ohio State. What did you make of when you saw his name as that guy, and what do you think that says about how they view Jalen going into the season?
Yeah, it's a statement, and it's kind of just echoes some stuff that teammates and coaches have been saying, like Caleb Downs will speak so highly of Jalen McClain about the way he operates and the way that he's, and Jalen McClain will talk about how he learned from Caleb Downs and Lathan Ranson. It's like the two best guys you could possibly learn from as a young safety. And so that's how Jalen McClain learned to be an Ohio State safety and an Ohio State defensive leader. And I think I'm expecting a really big season from him as Matt Patricia looks at, you know, different ways to use him. But even as a freshman, like before he'd ever played a game, Matt Guerrieri talked about how Jalen had like the highest percentage of finding the football, whatever metrics they're using, like he's always around the football, and that has continued to translate. And I think this year he's going to be more active because you don't have Caleb Downs, so you're going to find some different ways to make some noise with the guys that you do have. So I expect him to be very involved this season as a leader. He talked about increasing and improving his communication. That's something that he learned from Caleb Downs. And yeah, I'm just expecting a very, very good season from him this year.
He is Tony Gerdeman of BuckeyeInsiders.com with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. 2 weeks from today, Gerd, Ohio State's going to open up fall camp over there at the Woody. I think tickets are still available. It's always a good time to get out and go see Ohio State if you are unable to make it to the Horseshoe or at a road trip. If you have a couple of guys, either offensively, defensively, who you're really interested in, not necessarily a young guy, but mm-hmm. someone who you're going to have your eyes on in those first few days of open practice, who are they, Gerd?
Yeah, offensively, I'll say Devin McEwen, the wide receiver, the senior wide receiver from UTSA. They need somebody to be a threat opposite Jeremiah Smith outside, and we saw little bits of it in the spring, but not enough to really answer questions. And so that's one guy that I'll be looking for, just to see how he's being used, how effective he is, whether or not he looks like he's out of place. And you know, during the spring, anybody can look out of place when it's their first time at Ohio State. So you know, I want to see some comfort factor and you know, some plays. Defensively, I wish we had gotten to see more from Earl Little, because I think he's going to have a huge impact. And certainly we weren't going to see anything overly telling of how they're going to use him this year. And certainly we won't see anything like that in the first 3 days. But just seeing the way the three safeties line up and just having a baseline for the fact that all three are going to play everywhere, and then just seeing, like, keeping track of, yes, okay, so he was here, and then he was there, and then he was over there, and this guy was also over there. I just like getting that first baseline for the first day or two and then seeing the progression as we get to be in there more and more.
Gerd, before we get you out of here, I know you're going to be over at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago coming up next week. If you had to have a beer and a truth serum for any coach in the Big Ten, which one are you choosing?
Oh, boy. That's a good Ryan Day.
Well, you can't pick him other than him. Other than him, you can't pick Ryan Day.
You know, in terms of having a beer, I think having a beer with Brett Bielema would be great.
Consensus answer. Good answer.
Oh, really? Okay. Then I would say, I would also say, how about like 2008 Brett Bielema when he was a lot wilder.
That also works. I do enjoy myself some retro Brett Bielema. Also current day, Bert. Buddy, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us. Have a great rest of your evening. Enjoy Chicago next week, or Hammond. I'm not exactly sure where media days are. And we'll talk to you later, all right?
All right, see you guys.
There he goes. Tony Gerdeman, BuckeyeInsiders.com, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Who are the top 25 college football programs as of right meow? We'll get into that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30, and he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by Safe Light and Bob's Discount Furniture, happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Ryan Day's favorite radio show. Probably. Maybe. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts with us here this evening. Hopefully everybody's enjoying their Thursday night. Did you do anything fun today, Pat, in the nice weather? Did you just hang out?
Today, I did go for a run.
Nice.
That's about it, though. What else? Yeah, I didn't do anything exciting.
How responsible of you.
Yeah, well, it was my first run in a while.
Was it?
Yeah, because my allergies were causing issues with running, so I've had to do indoor exercises.
Boy, you're preaching to the choir there. I've been just ravaged by allergies this spring, and then it's continued on for the entire summer. I know what Nate did today. Nate, what time did you get back from the Rush concert in Chicago?
I got home at 7 in the morning. I drove all night and got home at 7 in the morning. And then I slept.
I know what you did today. Are you feeling sprightly now? Or are you feeling a little groggy? What's going on over there?
It's October, right?
It's close enough. I mean, Ohio State's going to play USC on the road.
Oh, okay, good, good, good.
This weekend. I know that we talked about last night and how you should go to jail if you have Halloween stuff up. But for you, yes, it is Halloween weekend. Buckeyes are traveling to USC to take on the men of Troy. I was reading this from a little bit earlier today. The top 25 college football programs. Now, it's interesting because, you know, when you read something like this, and obviously it's going to be subjective as to, like, is it right now? Is it a blue blood category? Is it like the last 10 years? Like, what's the definition of a top 25 program? I'll read it to you. College football changes fast in the era of the transfer portal. If you blink, the dominant teams of the current era can become afterthoughts, and those that were in the cellar can rise to the elite, a la Indiana the last couple of years. That's why the ranking the best programs in the sport needs to be done each off season. Our list of the top 25 has been shuffled significantly after the 2025 campaign. Indiana would not have been a part of the conversation 2 years ago. Last year, they were ascending. Now the Hoosiers are national champions, making the list. Brigham Young, Mississippi, and SMU are among the other programs on the rise. On the downslide, Clemson, Nebraska are among teams falling back in the rankings. Wisconsin and Michigan State have completely fallen out. So how does our list stack up? Without further ado, here's our best 25 as voted on by the experts at USA Today Sports. Just still doesn't really give like a good explanation of like what the criteria is for the best college football programs.
It's just whoever they want.
In my mind,
and based on the rankings, it looks just like whoever they felt like.
Yeah, and so in my mind, like if I'm talking about like best college football programs, it's recent success, historical success, and then kind of how you're projecting teams moving forward. Like, if I was to vote on this, that's probably, at least in my mind, how I would go after it. Anyways, let's get to the list, shall we? Number one, best football program in America, in the top 25 for college football programs, as of right now, would be your hometown team, the Buckeyes. Number one, Ohio State. Good answer, everybody. They've been the most dominant football team for the last 50 years, for the last 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. The most consistent team really across the nation. Number one, Ohio State. We are witnessing one of the greatest runs in college football in Columbus. The Buckeyes are 165-21 since 2012. 2024, Ryan Day became the program's third full-time coach in a row to win a national championship. What else is there to say? Ohio State has won at least 10 games of every full season, but one since 2005. It is simply the bowl subdivision gold standard and the envy of every program in the country in and out of the Big Ten. I think that's it's a great paragraph to encapsulate what this program has been over the last 20 years. You could go back 30 years, like, I mean, the history will tell you as much, Pat. It truly is the gold standard in college football.
Absolutely. You talked off the top about, you know, programs that are on top that sort of fall off. Like, you think about Texas, USC.
Think about a lot of them.
I mean, Clemson recently, Alabama a little bit without Nick Saban. So Ohio State, despite multiple coaching changes during that time, just consistent. Now,
changes of the game, NIL, yeah, transfer portal, sure. Like, there's been some programs that have had difficulty adjusting to that.
Absolutely. And the Buckeyes have managed it. Now, there have been bumps in the road. You know, the NIL stuff, it took them a little while to figure out how they wanted to handle that.
It's hard to do.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And they've managed it very well once they sort of got a plan in place. But I also think if you're a Buckeye fan, like, that's all great to hear. You'd love a couple more national championships, right?
You can't take a couple more natties.
I mean, given what Alabama did. Like, those are the two programs, at least in the last decade plus, right? It's like Alabama has the championships, but Ohio State's been that consistent team. And so, you know, you can make the argument there, and Georgia and what they did for you know, the run that they were on.
Still a good squad. Great squad.
Yeah. So, look, I think if you're Ohio State, you love the fact that you have been the consistent program and at the top for as long as they have.
You've been the torchbearer.
Yeah. And, really. And you know, fortunately, you just won a national championship 2 years ago. You're on the hunt for another one to really kind of cement this.
Wait another 10 years.
I don't think you want to do that.
No, nobody wants to do that. Number two on this list is Alabama. I would kind of have my arguments with that. In the last couple of years of Nick Saban, maybe we saw a downward trend, and then Obviously, Alabama season under the first 2 years of Kalen DeBoer did not go that way. But anyways, I mean, you still can't take away what Alabama has done and then will do in the future. Alabama comes in this list at number two. Georgia is number three. Kirby Smart's got two national championship, still recruiting at a high level, getting guys out of the transfer portal at a high level. I'll have a problem with that. Number four, Notre Dame. Interesting.
Did you notice the Freudian slip here?
I didn't. Nate, why don't you go ahead and
read
this?
The very first sentence of the paragraph. You can tell the history of college football without a major chapter involving the Fighting Irish.
That is true. I wonder if that was on purpose or if that, like you said, was a Freudian slip. You can't tell the history of college football without a major chapter involving the Irish, but also you can.
The last 30 years, you can very much tell that story without Notre Dame.
And they are very confident in South Bend this year with a couple of Ohio State additions that they got on the transfer portal. CJ Carr in... You know, all these other guys, I know that they had the bad start to the season last year. They ended it on a great note, still ultimately fell short. But Notre Dame, fourth on this list. Texas, number five. Shocking to me that LSU is number six. Now, I know that LSU, you know, they're the same thing. Like the last three coaches minus Brian Kelly, so I guess that breaks their streak, have all won national championships there. You know how many times LSU's made the college football playoff? Off the top of your head, anybody?
Three.
Nate?
Two?
They've made it one time, okay. And they won it in 2019. Yes. So one time since the college football playoff has been around, they've made it, and they've won it. I know it's a big job. Lane Kiffin is getting all the love this year, and like what a big program it is. And I'm not here to tell you that it's not a big program. Like they've won three national championships with their last four head coaches. It's a great program. But in the last 10 years or so, I would say that they have been woefully overrated for what they tend to possess every single year. To make the college football playoff once since its inception for a program that holds itself to the standards that LSU does, like that's quite the failure on their part.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got all the resources, you've got, you know, the ability to bring in players now in the NIL era. I heard Lane Kiffin talking today at SEC Media Days about since he's been at, you know, 6 months since he's been at LSU, he's had 10 five-star, or he's had many five-star commits as the last 6 years combined at Ole Miss. So, like, the ability to have this program at the top of the sport is there. They just have not been able to capitalize it. Like, the location.
Also got to coach him.
Yeah, yeah. The location in terms of recruiting, like, it's there terrific. There are guys that Ohio State has gotten out of there that should have been at LSU. Like, Blaine Bradford. Yeah, who is a freshman this year. Like, he should be at LSU if that program is humming. It just hasn't been.
It hasn't been. So LSU is number six. Michigan at number seven. I had no qualms about that. Michigan still wins at a high level. I know that's the Askris National Championship. We don't need to talk about that. Still very good team year in, year out. Oklahoma at number eight. Miami, Florida.
Speaking of woefully overrated.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've had one good season in 25 years at Miami.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like they're two spots above Oregon. At least Oregon has, I don't know, won conference titles in the last 20 years.
That is true.
The playoffs more than once.
Got smoked in the Rose Bowl.
They did.
You know, but they made
a national championship
game. Miami also made a national championship game. They did play for one last year against Indiana. I think this is all subjective, and it's just like, hey, who do you like, you know, going into the future? Who do you like in the past? So there was really no rhyme or reason to this. This is how I can tell that we are like on the brink of football season starting.
We need it.
It's like we are really, really breaking down things that it's just like whatever you want to talk about, go ahead. If you want to go ahead and read that list, you can. The University of Southern California, the Trojans at number 10. Argue amongst yourself for the rest of them or don't. It doesn't matter to me. One coach in the SEC, at least. He's been keeping it real at Media Days. We'll get into that in the Pulse coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Things are popping at Al's Delicious Popcorn. With over 80 flavors to choose from, we have something for everyone. From classics like caramel cashew, white cheddar, and our famous vanilla butternut to new flavors like chicken and waffles and spicy barbecue. They are all made fresh and they are all delicious. Visit us online at alspopcorn.com or come see us and experience the best service in town at 1500 Bethel Road in Columbus. Al's Delicious Popcorn.
As America's largest custom home builder, Schumacher Homes believes a top-quality home should be affordable for everyone in the Buckeye State. We work with the leading architects to bring you the latest in design, and then you have the ability to make changes. Not just selecting finishes, but moving walls, adding rooms, literally customizing anything from the ground up. It's a misconception that custom homes have to be expensive. We work within your budget to build an amazing home on your land. Visit SchumacherHomes.com or any of our 9 Ohio locations.
The future of recycling is now at Rumpke Waste and Recycling. The recycling leader has opened North America's largest, most technologically advanced recycling center right here in Central Ohio. This one-of-a-kind facility features interactive displays, educational opportunities, and the ability to process over 60 tons of recycled material per hour. Rumpke is committed to recycling and sustainability efforts. And for more than 90 years, Rumpke has worked to make sure the items you place in your recycling bin get used again. Visit Rumpke.com to learn how you can team with Rumpke to put less trash in our landfills and more of it to good use.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Nate Putterball, their sports update. Earlier today, prior to their arbitration hearing, the Columbus Blue Jackets inked goaltender Jet Greaves to a three-year, $15 million contract, keeping him in Columbus through the 2028-2029 season. Former Blue Jacket Jack Johnson today was named an assistant coach to the Ohio State women's hockey team following his retirement in January. Earlier today, the Minnesota Twins scored two runs in the 12th inning to lead them past the Cleveland Guardians 3-1. This puts the Guardians a game and a half back in the AL Central. The Cincinnati Reds are off tonight. They'll open a series tomorrow in Tampa Bay. The Columbus Clippers are on the road tonight, continuing a series with St. Paul. And in NFL news, the Las Vegas Raiders' number one draft pick Fernando Mendoza came to terms on a four-year, fully guaranteed deal worth $57.27 million. And the Carolina Panthers announced today they lost outside linebacker Nick Scorton to an ACL tear in his right knee that will keep him out through the entire 2026 season. Bringing sports news to women's to the fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hour number two of the program for us here on a Thursday. Hanging out with my guy Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts. Nate Dogg behind the glass. We got ESPN up on the screen now. They've gone to some baseball game. Maybe it's a Little League World Series softball game. Someone looks like they're dressed up as a WWE champion. Like, it looks awesome, Nate. And I know that we were talking the last time we did a show, you, me, and Austin, about who I should support.
Yes.
Whoever that guy's dressed
as. All right, that's all right.
He was wearing, like, a fake mink coat, hot pink sunglasses, a nice bandana. Whoever that guy is, I want to know, because he is a total rock star. Actually, you know what? It's the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah, I just looked at the bananas.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does.
As to what I'm watching. What do you have for us tonight, Nate?
Mike Elko, the most real coach down at SEC Media Days this week. He was asked by a reporter, how do you keep your players from being satisfied? And he simply responded, I show them our trophy case. It's empty.
I love this from Mike Elko. Like, Texas A&M has had... And I'm gonna watch the way that I word this. A very bloated ego over the last, I don't know, however many years you want to go back. Maybe ever since Johnny Manziel beat Alabama, won the Heisman Trophy. Like, it's always like, all right, Texas A&M, watch out for them. Texas A&M, watch out for them. NIL came involved, and it's like, watch how much money we're going to spend. And they did, and then it went poorly. And Jimbo Fisher got fired, and it was kind of a disaster, and has been. This is a real coach right here. Like, Mike Elko, I like what he's doing at Texas A&M. I like the way that they play football. It's not like a flashy rebuild the way that Kurt Cignetti has rebuilt Indiana. But if you want your program to be more stable and more realistic about their expectations, I think that is what Mike Elko brings to the table. Him just straight up saying, like,
scoreboard.
Yeah. How do we keep our players from being satisfied? I show them that we haven't ever won anything, basically, in college football. So that's all the motivation that we need. I love that from him. I think it's a great answer. Like, we can talk about Steve Sarkisian this week. I know we talked about Eli Drinkwitz You know, the Mad Hatter out there wearing a visor, defensive guy. Kirby Smart saying we need to break away. You got Greg Sankey saying we need to break away. Yeah, Josh Heupel out there saying, you know, make sure you load up on golf balls and mustard for when Lane Kiffin comes back to Neyland Stadium here the first few weeks of the season. Mike Elko's about business. Mike Elko's talking business. Mike Elko's not messing around. I like this from him. I think this is, you know, a lot of things are overblown when you get a microphone put in your in front of your face. That's a real message that he has given his players each and every day.
I hope that's something they really do. Like, he's really been like,
let's take a
there's
walk.
Nothing, yeah,
like, let's take a walk throughout our
this
program.
Is where we would put trophies if we had them.
You go to the Woody every so often, Pat. Yeah. How many trophies are in there?
A lot. There's an entire room that just sits with the big glass window that you can walk by that has, and that's not even every trophy. Like, that's just some of the more
recent, big ones.
Yeah, the relevant ones. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. It's also just amazing that Texas A&M hasn't done something on a bigger level that they've done with the support that they have.
I think that's his message, though.
Yeah, right. And I just hearing it said out loud, it's like, yeah, this program should have, you know, been in an SEC titled game, been in more college football playoff, like
something.
They did host a college football playoff game last year. They did lose that game in one of the more boring college football playoff games because of the weather and the defense. But yeah, it's with a program that size, with that backing, and both financially and the fans that show up and like the passion and everything.
The 12th man.
You would expect that this would be a program that is at least consistently competitive. Maybe, you know, you lose games here or there and you're kind of out of the mix. But the fact that they have not put anything in that trophy case is just kind of surprising given what the resources they have.
Looking at their schedule this year, they open things up with Missouri State week number one, home against Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham, who I also like. I think is a really good up-and-coming coach in college football. That's week number two. Should be a fun tussle. Will Stein and Kentucky coming to town. Week number three, and then week number four, the trip down to the Bayou in Baton Rouge to take on Lane Kiffin's Tigers. Get Arkansas, then Missouri, the Citadel on the road at Alabama, and then at South Carolina, home against Tennessee, at Oklahoma, home against Texas. It's not an easy schedule by any means. If Texas A&M makes the playoff this year, Pat, I would deem that a successful season. But you can feel something building down there. And it doesn't feel like it's smoke and mirrors, maybe how it's been in years past. It does feel like an authentic football program is being built under Mike Elko. Again, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do this year with that schedule. I would love to see them go down to Death Valley and win that game on the road, just because I think everybody who listens to the show knows my thoughts on Lane Kiffin and LSU. Even if you listen to the last segment, I think you know my thoughts on Lane Kiffin and LSU. But should be a fun year for them. Texas A&M fans have to be thrilled with what their coach is bringing to the table this year.
Well, Nick Saban decided to talk a little bit today. He's getting annoyed hearing that the Big Ten is better than the SEC. He said, I think the only reason people are talking about this is the SEC dominated for so long. We were so good. Everybody makes a big deal out of being able to beat us. That doesn't mean they're better than us. That doesn't mean that just because you win the championship, you have a better conference. It just means you have one better team. That is the definition of the pot and the kettle.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Saban makes some good points on the future of college football. If you listened to this show last night, we were talking about him saying that all the Power Four teams just need to play an all Power Four schedule, which would kind of create its own football subdivision. And then you break away really from college football without actually technically having to break away. And I think that's a good way for college football to do things. But then also he goes on and says this. The crazy part is that the Pac-12 has played in a national championship game more recently than the SEC has. All right? So if you want to go on and say that the Big Ten is not a better conference, top to bottom, you can. He's an SEC guy. He coached at LSU. He coached at Alabama. He's speaking.
He coached at Ohio State.
Yes, he did. He also coached at West Virginia.
Toledo.
Yes. The Browns.
The Browns.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's an Ohio
guy. The Dolphins.
Guy. Yeah, for a little bit of time. And he said, I'm not taking that job, but then he ultimately did. You know, and again, I think Nick Saban has some good points, but you have to realize where he's speaking at and the way he is speaking about the conference. I wholeheartedly disagree with him. I think that, you know, over the last few years, I watch a lot of Big Ten football, and I also have my eye on the SEC. The SEC product from where it was in 2015 to where it was in 2025 or 2014 to 2024.
It is an objectively worse product.
It is way worse. And not to say that it's bad football, but it's not what it has been or what it was during those 10 years, you know, in the late 2000s into like the 20-teens, really into Saban's end of his tenure in the early 2020s. It's such a different product, Pat. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of that is NIL. Some of that is the transfer portal. I also think that there might just be some bad coaching that is going on. Like, just because you get a five-star commit to you doesn't mean that that player is going to be a first-round NFL pick. You still have to coach them up. Going from high school and then into college, then the NFL, you need to be coached. And I think there's a severe lack of coaching across the SEC. I know that they're very talented, but there's some bad football that's played in that league.
Yeah, and I think if you are Nick Saban, would you have said the same thing when the SEC was winning national championships?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Right? And, like, the fact isn't that you just haven't won a national championship. They haven't even played in one. Like, it's not even that they're coming close and you know, a Big
Ten
team.
They're not getting past the first round of the playoffs, exactly, for the most part.
Exactly. So, I like Nick Saban. I like him as an analyst. I think he's done a good job.
I agree.
But I do think sometimes, and this was on SEC Network, so I get it, but I do think sometimes he says things that are just like, why? Like, you're just making yourself look silly by doing this.
Ole Miss made the semifinals last year.
Yeah.
By beating, but only because they beat an SEC team.
Yes, they beat Georgia, and then they housed Tulane at home. Georgia got the automatic bye, which, has, to be fair, hasn't been friendly to anybody in the college football playoff so far.
Except Indiana.
Yeah, well, that's true. They won the national championship. They had no problem with it. Nate, I think we have time for one more.
Colin Simmons of Texas was talking down at Media Play, or at Media Days, and he decided to go with some hypotheticals, letting us all know that if Texas had made the college football playoffs last year, they clearly would have won it.
Yeah, I'm not even going to really entertain this at this point. Like, they didn't make it. If you would have got in, would you have won it? Yeah, sure. Why not?
But of course they would. They're from the SEC.
You didn't. And also, you didn't. So, I don't know why last year is being brought up for Texas. They should be full on steam ahead for this year. Week number two, Buckeyes are coming into town. Is that game going to shift the momentum? Who's going to be favored for the national championship? Probably. Should it? I don't know. Necessarily. Again, I'll say the same thing as I did going into that week one Texas game last year. These two teams are going to be completely different come November than they are playing down in Austin week number two, as they should. You want to peek towards the end of the season, not breaking news to anybody. They shouldn't be talking about what happened last year. You got left off the playoffs. Do you believe you want to win the Natty? Like, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant at this point. If Ohio State played up-tempo offense during the third quarter against Indiana, do you think you would have beat them in the Big Ten championship game, got a better seeding, then got to the national championship? Yeah, maybe, but it doesn't matter. You lost against Indiana. You lost against Miami. We're on to 2026.
This is a classic case of, I assume, somebody who doesn't cover Texas, maybe doesn't even cover the SEC regularly, asking a question that puts a player in a, like, what's he going to say? No, we didn't. I don't know how the question was framed, but to me, this seems like he was kind of set up for this. Now, you can say, look, we're like you said, Beam, we're on to this year. We're not even thinking about next year or last year. But I mean, as a player, like, yeah, you should be thinking that way. Now, is that realistic? No, probably not.
It's also hard when a question gets asked to you immediately. Yeah. Like, and I don't blame Colin Simmons for saying that.
Yeah, I think if this were an Ohio State, you know, player, you'd want him to be confident about what happened last year, even if it doesn't make sense. But again, I think your point is valid. I think everybody except Indiana and maybe Miami should be fully focused, and even those schools should be fully focused on what they're doing this season. And
ask Kurt Cignetti next week,
yeah,
how he thinks last season went. I would love to hear his answer.
I think I just get a stare.
I don't think
not a fun one. Either.
I don't think he would give you a one word response.
I'll just during his on stage, like, stand up and ask,
and then just shrink down into your seat.
Yeah. It won't be the worst question that's asked to him. I guarantee you that.
All I know is if Texas loses to Ohio State week two, I don't want to hear a word out of Texas until they're in an SEC title game.
Yeah, but you will.
I will. Yeah, we will.
You will. We'll play some what-ifs with Ohio State for this upcoming football season. We'll do that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Cancer. For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes, but not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt as a team like no other. Giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now we are looking good for a couple more days here across central Ohio. Overnight tonight stays dry with comfortable temps in the upper 50s. On Friday, a lot of sun early, then increasing clouds, low 80s. Dry Sunday on Saturday, middle 80s, and a chance of a storm or two in the afternoon on Sunday. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
It's time for your daily dose of vitamin B. B stands for Buckeyes, just in case that wasn't clear. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us here on this Thursday. Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts hanging out with me. Nate doing a terrific job behind the glass, even though running short on sleep. Doing a great job. Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch, he's going to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes at 7:30. Talk all things Ohio State basketball. They had media availability a little bit earlier in the week, open practice. I know you were attending that as well, Pat, but we'll check in with him. I think he's going to go down to Puerto Rico. He's covering the team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting like that, for him. That might be. Yeah, I don't know that for sure, but I believe that's in the cards. We'll ask Adam when he comes on. But yeah, that would be a fun trip.
Are you into WWE at all, Pat?
When I was a kid, I was super into it for probably like
me
four
too.
Or five
all
years.
Right, Nate, you're going to have to guide us.
All right,
I'm here for the next couple of minutes. I was also very much into it. Austin is into it. Yes. He gets to be on the show a couple of times a week with me, and Nate is very into it. I'm trying to get back in. I want to break back in to the WWE, to the professional wrestling scene. I just don't know where to start. But I have ESPN2 on, and they're doing the press conferences, which I didn't even know. I didn't even know that they did that.
Yeah.
That it's like a UFC or a boxing match. That
well, I mean, they're owned by UFC, like the people that own UFC. So they're doing a whole lot of the same things.
You know what? News to me. Didn't know that. But now I'm going to get involved. This Obafemi character, I don't know. I think I might like him a lot. He seemed to have a lot of pizzazz.
He's got a lot of charisma. He is a huge man.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he's like 6'7", I think, and like all of 300 plus pounds.
He looked like a rather large fella.
He was like a shot putter out of Ghana or something. So he's just like, I'm going to toss people. Like, just bye-bye. Goodbye.
Was he in the selection set that you and Austin mentioned?
I think so.
Was he? Okay. Yeah. All right. Because I haven't watched yet. When is SummerSlam? Is it this weekend?
I think it's in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I think it's the first weekend of August.
All right. I'll have to be watching for that. But again, I'm going to try to get involved because I have a hunch that our three-year-old William is really going to get into it. Because the way that he treats me when I get home, it's just flying knees.
Just elbows. Show your son Danhausen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them.
Danhausen is the guy who uncursed the Knicks.
What happened?
So this is a whole story. So they brought Danhausen on to First Take or whatever, and Stephen A. was on there. And his gimmick is, I curse people, and then they lose in humiliating ways. Mm-hmm. So they brought Danhausen on and says, if you pay me $100, I will uncurse the Knicks. The only time the Knicks lost past that point was when Trump was present.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I will curse the Cavs. And that is the game that they lost that huge lead. So basically, since then, everyone in New York said, this guy made the Knicks win possible.
Is he like a modern day Gold Dust?
Yeah, so he's just like a wacky character. So, right. Yeah.
I'm going to love him. Who was your guys growing up, Pat?
The Rock.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Stone Cold. I really started watching towards the end of the Stone Cold era, which is unfortunate. Triple H, The Undertaker, Kane,
all the good guys.
Yeah, it was a good time to be a WWE.
Did you ever have like a niche? Were you ever a fan of like a niche wrestler or not?
No, not really. I really hated Kurt Angle. Really,
so did
Kurt
everybody
Angle.
Else.
Well, but Kurt Angle had a period where he tried to be a good guy, and
he just
some people bought it. I did not. I have a buddy who's still a big WWE fan, so we'll go over sometimes for what I still call pay-per-views, even though that's not what everyone
that is not in WWE calls them still.
So we'll go over to his house sometimes and watch them, and he'll just like between each match kind of catch us up on what's going on. So as Nate's talking, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy did this and whatnot.
If you're a Rock guy, there's a guy named Trick Williams who is, you know, still young, like was an NFL in the NFL for a little bit, and like just has that mountain of charisma that the Rock had.
Did you know, I learned this, I'm gonna shout out my guy Tom at City Tavern, the Rock's TV debut or acting debut outside of WWF was on an episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
I did not know that.
He plays the Rock. Like, literally, the character is named The Rock.
But it was before he, like, made his big break
as a wrestler? Before Scorpion King. No, he was a wrestler, but he hadn't done movies or anything yet.
Oh, Scorpion King, such a bad, great movie.
Yes, exactly.
Like, awful movie.
Because I think
I loved it as a kid.
That was his first breakout. Like, I'm acting outside of WWF. But yeah, the plot of the episode is one of the characters gets, like, taken into this fighting ring and has to fight what turns out to be The Rock, who does The Rock's, like, comes out, the people's eyebrow, all this stuff. It was great.
He's the people's champ, man.
It was hilarious. We pulled this up on YouTube to watch the scene. It's out there if you want to find it. And I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to get into it. Like, I feel like if I show our son, like, one episode, but the problem is, what time does it come on? 8?
Yeah, it's usually at 8 o'clock.
But I mean, it's streaming all the time, right? Like, I can go back.
On Netflix, on Raw.
Yeah, I can go back and, you know, watch everything.
Right.
I can record it on the YouTube TV, like on my, I sound so old. I can record it on the YouTube TV. I can put it on the library. We can watch it, you know, during the day. But I'm like, I'm chomping at the bit to get back into WWE. So I don't know who this guy, who's this guy talking right now, Nate?
It's just Michael Cole.
Okay. Shout out to him. Pat McAfee's partner. let me read you this. All right, Pat, I was reading this on ESPN. What ifs for the Ohio State football team this season? This was by Bill Connolly, the inventor of ESPN's FPI, the Football Power Index. Are you a big FPI guy, Pat?
Yeah, I think FPI is a solid metric.
I don't really, every time I read about the FPI, I'm like, I don't get it.
You don't have to understand it. You just have to accept that it, you know, is it the most accurate thing out there? No, probably not. But I think it does, for a free service, like you're not paying to access that, I think it does a decent job.
Not a big PFF guy?
I use some PFF. You gotta pick and choose.
Yes, you do. That's the whole thing about analytics with me. I'm like, it can tell you whatever you want or it can't. Bill Connolly, three ifs, what ifs for this Ohio State team this season. If the portal delivered a pass defense, here's what he wrote. Matt Patricia inherited the best pass defense in the country last season, and if anything, improved it. But the Buckeyes defense lost four top 40 NFL draft picks, seven picks in all, four of his top five linemen, six of his top nine defensive backs gone. Coach Ryan Day added two transfer ends, two tackles, two corners, two safeties. At least one of those in each position needs to become a stalwart in the lineup. I've had my doubts in the past about replenishing for this Ohio State defense. Once they did it past the national championship year and got better, all of my worries have kind of gone away with Matt Patricia at the helm, Pat, now coming in to another year with this Buckeye defense.
I take exception with the idea that Matt Patricia inherited the best defense in the country. They were statistically the year before, but they did lose eight starters, which is what we're talking about now, right? So was it the best defense? Yeah. I mean, you had Caleb Downs. You had Sonny
Styles. We had our questions.
Yeah, right. So
doing shows last year at this time, we had a lot of questions about the defense.
Yeah. So I don't know if I agree with that. You know, Tyleek Williams was a first round pick. You had JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer, Lathan Ransom, Cody Son- like. They lost a lot of talent. So to say that that was for sure inheriting the best. No, Matt Patricia built that into a best defense in the country after losing eight starters.
And they had really good players.
Yeah. Right? And now he's got to do it again. So and look, that's no easy task. But if there's a guy out there that can do it, I think we're all pretty confident in Matt Patricia.
If Jeremiah Smith has battery mates and Smith, Ohio State returns maybe the most talented player in the country. I'm going to remove the maybe from there. The most talented player, the best player in the country, Julian Sands' next two targets in 2025, both high draft picks, are gone. The only two other returnees caught even five passes last season between veteran Brandon Innes, four veteran transfers, blue chip youngsters Chris Henry Jr., Jerquaden Guilford, Legend Bay. A lot of players will need to thrive in more important roles. Agree with that, but also I think that with Cortez Hankton coming in this year, maybe with Arthur Smith coming in as well, the difference in the passing game, the passing patterns, the routes that they're going to run, the route trees that have availability to them. I also have no doubt in a Ryan Day-led offense that it's also going to be very good.
Yeah, that's the expectation every year. This is different. You know, you don't have those receivers stepping in that were, you know, former five-star guys or high four-star guys. And so I think this is a little bit of a different look from Ohio State than we've had in recent seasons. But that doesn't mean they can't be productive. You still have the best player in college football, as you put it. You still have an elite quarterback. I think the offense may be a little bit different in terms of the way that they use these receivers.
I think it should be.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing to that point. So, yeah, there's not a Carnell Tate. There's not a Jackson Smith and Jigba. There's not a Mecca Buka, like those guys that were number twos at some points in their careers. But that doesn't mean that they won't be talented. You know, Gerd brought up Devin McEwen earlier. Kyle Parker played at LSU for Cortez Hankton. Like
the ninth best college football program in America, right, according to USA Today.
But this, I mean, he has an opportunity, familiar with his coach, probably the best offense he's played in to pop. Same with Devin McEwen. Obviously, he comes from a slightly...
It's the best offense he's played in.
Yeah, slightly lower level, so to speak. But, you know, there's opportunities. Plus, Brandon Innes was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. And I know it hasn't popped for him yet, but the talent is not the question there. And he does a lot of things, too, that don't show up on stat sheet.
He was also a captain last year for Ohio State. So, a lot to be excited for. We'll get into the last what-if coming up in our last segment. For now, though, Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch, he's going to join us, tell us what he's learned about this Buckeye Hoops program over the summer months. We'll do that coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
For 30 years, Schumacher Homes has been building affordable custom homes throughout the Buckeye State. Experience true customization on your land, your way, without any compromises. Come visit any of our 9 Ohio model home and design studio locations to see the latest in design trends and learn about our award-winning building process, or start online at SchumacherHomes.com. You'll be surprised how affordable a custom home will be. Schumacher Homes, proud home building sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is the Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts here this evening. Right now we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check it with our guy. He is of the Columbus Dispatch. He is Adam Jardy. Adam, haven't had a chance to talk to you in a little bit. Did you bring home that summer baseball championship? What's going on, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys as well. And I'm delighted to say that, yes, my Rockies did get it done. We brought the hardware home. I got two trophies sitting in my office that I look at every day when I'm working. I'm so proud of that team.
Hey, Adam, before we talk hoops, how excited are you for the Oasis documentary?
I'm counting the days. I'm trying to figure out if I can get to Italy for the advanced premiere that they're going to do sometime in early September. So I'm probably going to get a no on that, but I cannot wait to see that documentary. I'm going to cry.
If they were going to, you know, debut that in Cannes, like the Cannes Film Festival is a big, you know, obviously film festival for every, you know, motion picture fan out there. How much would you pay to go to Cannes, Adam, to watch that documentary
yes.
be unveiled?
let's just say money would be no object. Like it's credit cards anyway. Like you never see that money. So it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's all made up. I'd be there.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I'm with you. You know what? If you were to give me your Venmo, I think I would pay you like $20. Have a great time. I don't know if that's going to help at all. But I would love to help you to go over to Italy and see the unveiling of that film. Adam, you were over at the, I was going to say the Woody, but it's the wrong sport. You were over at the Shot a little bit earlier this week, getting to talk to some freshmen, getting to talk to Jake Diebler. Are you going to Puerto Rico? I know it may not be the Oasis documentary, but this Buckeye basketball team, I guess, has something pretty cool coming up here.
Yeah, they'll be leaving next week, going down to Puerto Rico to play a couple of games for a foreign exhibition trip. Not sure if I'm going or not. Hopeful that I'm going, but we'll see on that one. But it'll be interesting because, you know, when you got a team that's more than half new faces, which is, you know, how it tends to go these days, these sorts of things, even if you're just playing, like, who knows what the competition is going to look like, but just playing some games against other dudes at this point in the calendar, I think it's a huge benefit for any team that has this kind of opportunity. So yeah, really interested to see what they learn about themselves in this trip.
Adam, let's set aside the week that you skipped coming out to basketball interviews because you were on vacation or something. But the of the
says the guy who missed a month traveling around the country for the World Cup.
We're not talking about that.
I know. We're setting it aside. You said set it aside.
What has surprised you the most, whether it's a player or whatnot, that from the open practice windows you've seen?
I mean, I've been pleasantly surprised with like Anthony Thompson's ability to shoot. I've been surprised like just this week watching LJ Smith and thinking like that kid should still be in high school, and he looks like he's kind of holding his own. So I've been surprised by that. I just think in general, the thing that I keep coming back to every time I've watched these guys on the floor is just how much bigger they are. And just how this team is just going to look and feel and play differently because they just have so much more size. And they don't have to, like, move somebody from a 4 to a 3 to just get a little bit bigger. It's like they have plenty of size across the board. And I think that's the thing that just keeps jumping out to me when I look at them. And I would combine that, I guess, with the fact that they just have more guys that seem like they can do more things. Like, there's just more overall talent that they got to make it all fit together and all that, but like they're bigger and I think they have more talent. So that's probably my biggest takeaway to this point of the summer.
Adam, I know that we haven't gotten to hoop season yet. These guys are in the middle kind of their off season camps. I know earlier this week it was kind of a defensive minded practice. I'm not asking you to give us a team identity just yet. I think we'll kind of figure that out through the first couple of weeks of the non-conference schedule with what is coming up for the Buckeyes. But I mean, if you had to wager, you know, tickets to the Oasis documentary on whether this team's identity is going to be offensive or defensive, what would you say it's going to be, Adam?
Well, I'd say, I mean, the data historically here the last several years tells us that, you know, we're going to talk more about this team's offense because they've been an elite offense, you know, frankly, for the last several years. But I do think we'll probably take note of what should be a better defensive team. And I think that will then help fuel this offense and give them a few more opportunities. Because, like, I think that some of the guys that they have on this team have more of just a tough junkyard dog type of mentality that I think will translate to the defensive end. You've got guys who are bigger across the board who can create mismatches and who can, you know, handle ball screens and can handle getting switched onto other guys because they just, again, they have more size and more physicality to them. And I keep coming back to the story that I heard when they were recruiting Justin Pippen, which was when he actually started talking to the coaching staff and asked, what do you want to know about us? And he was like, well, how much do you want to play zone? Because like, I want to guard guys and I want to get up and like, you know, turn guys over. And they were like, well, we don't really want to play zone. We just kind of had to play zone last year. So like, I think that mentality right there, I think we're going to notice that. And it will, I think if they can defend at a higher level and be better at that end, we'll see that on the offensive end then, because they'll have maybe a few more runouts. Maybe you're turning a team over four more times a game and that's four fewer shots you're giving up. Like, I think cumulatively we'll probably feel that more offensively, but I think they should be better defensively.
What do you make of John Mobley Jr. stepping into the leadership role that it seems Jake Diebler has requested of him and I think is starting to happen?
Yeah, I've been impressed. I mean, what I've seen and what I've heard, and it's like, I mean, I'm sure you get this too, but it's like everyone that I talk to is just saying like he's really stepped into it in a very natural type of way to where, you know, he's not trying to be anything that he's not, and he's not uncomfortable with being thrust into that spot. Like, he's a guy that, you know, we talk so much about Bruce Thornton's work ethic the last couple of years, and I mean, John Mobley's right there with him. Like, that's a guy that's there at 5 a.m. most days, like getting early work in. And, you know, Jake Diebler talked to us this week about how like guys are getting in for like morning lift and they see him coming out of the gym and he's in like a full sweat because he's already gotten his work in. So like, he's got that buy-in where he puts the time in the gym, and that earns him a lot of respect with his teammates. And then he goes out and backs it up. And we're hearing him talk more too. Like, you can just, in practice, he's louder. He's yelling at guys. He's yelling at himself. That stuff will all get really tested anew, and we'll see what's real when they start playing games that matter. But like, at this point of the season or this point of the summer, I'm impressed. I think he's handling it pretty well.
Not to say that it's uncharted territory for anyone on this roster, Adam, but I mean, we've been talking about, you know, for 4 years in a row, Bruce Thornton being the leader for this team, right? I mean, four-time captain, you look at him and what he's already seemed to be making an impact on the Houston Rockets organization. John Mobley Jr. kind of being thrust into this leadership role and him taking it by the horns. I mean, how much of a different team do you think it's going to be? John Mobley Jr., Bruce Thornton, obviously much different players, different leadership, different strokes for different folks. But how do you think it's going to look with Junie being the leader of this team and not Bruce, which is something that we've been accustomed to the last few years?
Yeah, and it's almost a difficult thing to talk about because it sounds like you're like criticizing Bruce Thornton when you're just stating like what he does and how different players are different. But like, Bruce isn't the most explosive, like above the rim, like highlight type of player. Now, he is incredibly effective and proficient and strong and all those things. But like, John Mobley Jr. is a far more like electric type of player than Bruce Thornton. And when you have a guy like that who is now kind of the focal point of the offense and he's feeding the ball to an Amari Bynum, we'll see how, like, I'm still getting a feel for like Justin Pippen's skill set and how that fits in. But like, you have more explosive, I think, type of players on the roster and more guys that can play at a faster up-tempo pace than maybe what we've seen the last couple of years. And so I think when you're when you're head of all that is a guy like John Mobley Jr., who on top of all that, like, is a local kid and, like, you know, really deeply cares about Ohio State and really it matters to him to wear the uniform, like all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, you would think that that should mean this is a team that's going to be more up tempo, more high energy, and they're going to feed off of how he brings that. And we all know, I mean, he has no conscience. Like, he's going to, he might miss how many in a row, but like that next one's going in. So, you know, that's going to be part of it too.
Quickly, who has the bigger green light, him or Dwayne Washington?
Ooh, I'm going to say Mobley. He's got deeper range than Dwayne. Like, Dwayne knew he could make every shot, but like, I think Junie's better. And that's not a knock on Dwayne, but I'm going to say Junie, but that's a close one.
Adam, before we get you out of here, is the summer of Ivan Yagovin continuing? Cause everything I've heard about like open practice, he is kind of dominating with this team.
He's looking good for sure. Like, you can just see like the progress, things move more fluidly for him. He looks more confident, more under control when he's out there. And it's been interesting to me because I feel like if there's anyone on the team that Jake Diebler is coaching the hardest, where it's like that guy like takes two steps in the wrong direction, he's getting an earful, it's Ivan. I really think they're holding him to a high standard because they really know that like there's a chance for him to really take a big step this year. And he is a guy like Junie who has been there from day one, essentially, for the Diebler era. This will be his third year in the program. And, you know, this is where he needs to take like that big step and be a consistent contributor. So, yeah, he's looked impressive to me. You know, there's a whole lot to sort out there in the bigs. There's a lot of options down low. But yeah, this is it's a big opportunity for him, and I think they can tell that he's ready for that because they're on him. Every time I'm in there, like, they are on him, and they are making sure that he knows what he's doing.
Adam, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us here this evening. Have a great rest of your week, buddy. Hopefully we get to check in with you before September 2nd when the Oasis documentary premieres in Italy. I know you'll be there. I don't know what the roaming fee is to call you internationally, but we'll be sure to ring you, all right?
Appreciate you guys for having me. Thanks so much.
There he goes, our guy, Adam Jardy, the Columbus Dispatch, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hashtag Buckeyes is coming at you next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from Pillow Soft, plush dual feel, and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Inside the body, cancer divides. But inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers, relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by The Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at The Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us on this beautiful Thursday evening in Central Ohio. Anything fun planned this weekend, Pat? The Reds and the Cards, that's tomorrow. They start a series in St. Louis. You going over there? What are you doing?
No, I will not be making my way to St. Louis. We got Hell is Real. Crew Cincinnati.
Ooh, heck is plausible.
Nope, that's a different thing.
Okay.
At Scott's Miracle-Gro Field. I believe I said that right.
It's hard to get the name changed right, but yeah. That is correct. That's the correct way to say it.
This will be the lowest that both teams have been in the standings collectively since this rivalry became a thing and Cincinnati joined MLS, which is a bit disheartening if you're a fan of either team. But it should be an interesting game.
Also, never won a wooden spoon, lost a wooden spoon. The Crew have not, at least. I don't know. Earned a wooden spoon, I guess, would be the correct phrase for that. How many does Cincinnati have?
A few.
Yeah, they have a few of that. Speaking of wooden spoons, I saw this a little bit earlier.
All right, what a segue.
I know, thanks a lot. Big Ten football teams ranked by the most last place finishes in the conference since 1980. This does not include the four new teams from what used to be the Pac-12, so it doesn't include the West Coast teams. If anybody had to wager out there, the most last place finishes in the Big Ten since 1980. Who are you guys wagering to be the most last place finishes in the Big Ten since 1980?
Indiana.
Yeah, I was going to say either Indiana or Purdue.
Indiana is third on the list with 6. Purdue is fourth on the list with 5.
Rutgers?
Rutgers is 7th on the list, which is actually pretty impressive. They share that with Maryland. They've been in the league for equal amount of time, and they both have finished in last place a equal number of 4 times. It is neither one of those.
Just give it to us.
All right. Illinois is 2nd on this list.
Northwestern?
Shockingly at 7. Northwestern blew everyone out of the water. They have finished in DFL a record 10 times since the year 1980.
They've also played in multiple Big Ten championships.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It can't be Northwestern. They've actually won some things occasionally.
It can't be Indiana. They've won a national championship, right? They can't. How does that work?
Those divisions were fun.
The leaders and legends or the East and West?
The East West is what got Northwestern.
Off the top of your head, could you name the leaders and legends division? Because there is not a chance in hell that
I know
I could.
Ohio State and Michigan State were in different divisions.
Ohio State and Penn State were all in the same division.
No, because Ohio State and Michigan played in the Big Ten championship game.
Ohio State and Michigan State.
It was the M's, the N's, and Iowa was one division. And then the rest of the teams. At least initially.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look it up because I literally have forgotten.
That's because it was so stupid.
How long did they do that for?
Like a year?
Well, I think it was
really stupid.
It was one season.
No, I think it was probably.
Now, here's
three
a question
years.
For you. Was Ohio State in the legends or the leaders?
Leaders.
They were in the leaders. Good job, Pat.
It was my job to know this at one point.
Legends, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern. Leaders.
Yeah, M's, the N's, and Iowa.
And then Illinois, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, and Wisconsin.
Yep. There you go.
It made so much sense. It didn't at
no,
all.
No, it did not.
Also, the East and West didn't really make that much sense.
It made more sense.
I guess, but also, I mean, you're splitting them because of geography, but you're also loading one side of the division way more than you were the other.
Correct. That's why Northwestern was in multiple Big Ten championship games.
I think you're right. Can you name the 4 programs who have never finished in last place since 1980? There's 4 of them.
Would one of them be Ohio State?
That is correct.
Michigan?
Yes. Oh, Michigan is another one. Good job.
Wisconsin?
No, Wisconsin has
Penn
finished
State.
In last place once. Penn State has finished in last place 3 times since 1980.
Wow.
There's another one.
Nebraska?
Nebraska is another one.
They just haven't
one.
Been around that long.
There is one more who has not finished in last place. And the second that you think of it, it will make all the sense.
Iowa.
There you go, Nate. Yeah. way to use that big brain, because Iowa is never too high.
They're never too low.
But we're never too low. We're always very, very steady.
Iowa also played in a Big Ten championship game.
That is correct, against Michigan State in 2015.
They also played more recently. They lost to Michigan.
Ooh, you're right about that.
In the national championship year.
Yeah. Also, I think they got smoked in both games. Did they not?
They definitely got smoked to Michigan. They've not won it, so they lost both.
Well, you know that they haven't won one. They also haven't lost one, though. They haven't lost a quote-unquote wooden spoon in the Big Ten, I should say. Right. They haven't come in last place. All right, let's do our last what-if for Ohio State from the Bill Connolly article. We talked a little bit earlier on. If Jeremiah Smith has running mates, if the portal defense has delivered a pass defense, how about let's go to the offensive side? If new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith can pick up the pace. Ohio State played the second slowest tempo last season, averaged the third fewest drives per game, and it kept things calm and organized for Sand. But when things turned urgent in the college football playoff quarterfinal loss to Miami, the pace never picked up. The Buckeyes never produced the urgency necessary to deliver a comeback, with regular season games against Oregon, Indiana, Texas, and a hopeful playoff run in its future. Ohio State should see a few more close calls and late situations this season. If all Arthur Smith does is improve the tempo when it needs improving, that's probably a net win. Agreed wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I'm just kind of tired of talking about tempo. Like, Ryan Day's going to do...
I can talk tempo all day.
Ryan Day's going to do what he thinks is best for the team, and Arthur Smith I'm including in that. And, you know, do I agree that
it
they should have...
It has proved itself out over the season. It has.
Yeah.
Going slow.
But you do need to be able to go faster in certain moments, and I think that's a good point about the games they're going to play this season. But, you know, they know that. Like, you know, I don't know why they didn't go up-tempo in the postseason at times, or at least faster. But
the opportunity was there.
Yeah, it was. And maybe you just didn't think you need it at that point, so you hadn't worked on it too much.
I think a couple of times, like during the regular season against teams that maybe are not matchup games, you know, not talent equated games, like do it. You got to try it out in games.
I just always go back to, you know, that year you won the national title. What? How did you do that? By going bombs away every play?
Yeah. And you know what they did during the regular season? They slowed it down, and then they got in the playoffs. They're like, wait a minute.
Well, they also didn't
work in the regular season.
And then we're going to change it.
They did have a veteran quarterback there, so maybe that'll, you know.
They also have a veteran quarterback now.
Right. I always go back. I've said this a few times this offseason. Like, Bill Belichick and the year that the Patriots had Randy Moss and that team that went undefeated in the regular season, they were so good at, like, Slow it down. Speed it up. Like, even within drives, they could do that. And that, I think, is what every team should try and achieve.
Pat, had a great time with you tonight. Have a great time with Dylan tomorrow, okay?
I will.
Everyone, have an awesome evening. I don't know who you're working with.
I think it's
tomorrow.
Tim May.
Have a great time with Tim May tomorrow. Even better, all right? I love Dylan. Well, I love Tim May. You guys have a great time tomorrow. I'll be back on Tuesday. Everyone, enjoy what is coming up next right here on The Fan.